I don't find the readings today to be very easy to talk about. Probably one of the most difficult things we can do is when we have to approach somebody and say to them, what you're doing is wrong. What you're doing is evil. And I don't think any of us do that easily. It's much easier to kind of ignore it and hope the person changes and let it go. If you read the first reading, it's from the prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is being told by God that if God warns him to go warn somebody else about their behavior, about the evil they are doing, and if Jeremiah fails to do that, he becomes responsible for their death. But if he warns them and then they don't listen, then the person will die spiritually. But Jeremiah will not be guilty. Now, St. Augustine, many centuries later, kind of developed that whole concept, but he used the image of a shepherd. And he saw himself as a shepherd, that he was responsible for the care of his sheep, his people. He was responsible to lead them to good pastures. He was responsible to protect them from harm. And he knew that if he failed to do that, he would bear responsibility for their salvation. And of course, he knew that not only for himself, but in a rather lengthy treatise, he talks about that for anybody who is in ministry. And I know in my own life, I am responsible to speak the truth to people. And if something is evil, I'm responsible to point that out. Of course, in another level, all of us are responsible. All of us are responsible to speak to one another about what is good and what is evil, and try to dissuade people from doing what is wrong. And as I said, that's never easy. I suspect most of us have had the experience of saying something to someone, and the response we get back is, you have no right to judge me. That's a very common phrase in our culture today. Bishop Robert Barron says it's probably the only universal norm we have in this culture. You don't judge. You can't judge me. Well, it's true that Jesus said, judge not, and you shall not be judged. But then if you read through the Gospels, you will find Jesus judging very often. And he calls people hypocrites. He compares some of them to like whited sepulchres, whited tombs. He said, which are filled with dead men's bones. Very nice to look at on the outside, but inside filled with filth and dead men's bones. St. Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, has no hesitation about judging a man in that congregation who is leading a sexually immoral life. He's very explicit what should be done. So judgment is part of what we're also called to do. And you all know that in your own mind. Those of you who are parents or have been parents, you've had to make judgments about the people your children associate with, whether you want them to be influenced by somebody's example. You make judgments about the friends they have. And those judgments are judgments of concern. You don't want your children to get into bad influences and to be led astray. But we also make judgments sometimes about, you know, the kind of person we give a position of responsibility. Are their lives an example of how we want others to live? And we have to make judgments about things like that. So the question becomes, what kind of judgment can we make, and when should we not judge? What are the judgments that Jesus is really speaking about? And I think the best way to distinguish it is, we can judge actions, and we must judge actions, but we can't judge guilt. I can say to someone, that is a sinful action. That's wrong to do. But I can't say you're going to hell. I can't say you're guilty. Because only God knows what's going on inside of that person. Only God knows what fears, what hurts they might have that cause them to do things that they should not be doing. And so, again, we can say to people, you should not do that. But again, we cannot judge the motives and the guilt behind it. I can't say to somebody who opposes what I believe in to say you have bad intentions, because I don't know their intentions. I can't tell someone they're going to be condemned to hell. But I can say to someone, if I were to do that action, I would be guilty of serious sin. And I often have said that in the confessional, that I can't judge your guilt, but I know where it would be for me. And everybody has to stand before God with that. The point is, we can condemn the sin, but we can't condemn the sinner. Think about the example of Jesus with the woman caught in adultery. Right in the end, he says, has anyone condemned you? And she says, no. And then he says, neither will I condemn you. Then he says, go and sin no more. He has made a judgment about the evil of the sin, but he did not make a judgment about her. He did not condemn her. He knew her interior. For whatever reason, she did what she did. But he asked her to change her life. Now, you and I are responsible to teach others by word and by example what is right and what is wrong. Each of us must give an example of the way we live our lives for what is good living, what is according to the plan of God. Now, somebody may argue, say, well, look, if a person thinks they're right in whatever they're doing, why bother them? Just let them go ahead and do it. And the fallacy of that argument is that sin, even when we're not conscious of it, has evil effects. Maybe to use an analogy. If I have here a glass of what I think is water, even though I don't know that it's poison, if I drink it, it's going to do harm to me. And the same thing happens when we are doing evil things. Even though we may not be aware that they're evil, we may not agree that it's evil, it has its harmful effects. For example, gossip. Somebody may not be conscious at all of their gossiping, but it does its harm. It destroys people. It brings hurt into people's lives. Think about the number of children we have in our society today that don't have two parents. And they don't have two parents because they were conceived when their parents did not have a permanent, committed relationship to each other. They may not have thought what they were doing was wrong, but the child still suffers. And not only the child suffers, but the society suffers. Because we have then people who are growing up in an unstable environment. An environment in which many times they don't feel secure and loved. And then the church too suffers. Because we have people who are struggling with all those issues of pain and hurt that came out of the childhood because they did not have the secure, loving relationship of two parents. Even though we are not conscious of the sin, the evil we do has negative results. And therefore, we need to encourage one another, support one another, and not doing evil. Now go back to my analogy of the glass with poison in it. If that glass is there, and you know it's poison, and I don't know it's poison, you are responsible to tell me. And if you don't tell me, you become responsible for my death, whatever happens to me. It's kind of that way with a moral problem. If I know you're doing something that's evil, and I don't bother to tell you, I become responsible for the effects of the evil that you commit. That's what was happening with Jeremiah in the first reading, that's what Augustine was talking about. We are called to call each other from evil into goodness. We are called to support them and invite them to change. If we invite them and they refuse to do that, then the guilt is on them. But if we fail to do that, we bear some responsibility for the things they do. To give you some examples of that, or another example that I missed, but I think it's a very important one in our culture today, pornography. You know, I've heard people say, well, what's the big deal? It's just, you know, nobody's hurt. Well, it's not true. What we're learning about pornography is, the person that uses it becomes more and more self-focused. And they focus on what other people can give them rather than focus on giving to them and loving them. And so they begin to focus on the pleasure that other people can provide in their lives. If you don't think it's possible, statistics are showing now that over 50% of all divorces involve pornography. Because pornography does something to change the relationship between husband and wife. And usually what happens is they no longer see the other as a person to love, but as an object to use that gives them pleasure in their lives. So even though one doesn't think it's a sin, it still has its harmful, negative consequences. Now this day brings me back to a very basic teaching of our faith. It comes out of St. Paul, his letter to the Corinthians. We are the body of Christ. St. Paul talks about them in many times, in many ways. But we are one body. We are members one of another, and we bear responsibility to one another. Let me use another analogy. In my body, and in your body also, the eyes have a very important role. You know, they help me see where I'm going. They keep you from falling into a pit or bumping into a tree or walking in front of a truck. And if my eyes aren't functioning, the whole body suffers. Same with my ears. They're alerting to dangerous sounds, whether it's a raging animal, whether it's an approaching train, if those ears don't function, my body can be in trouble. Now, in the body of Christ, we are to function that way. We are to alert one another to the evil, and we are to invite them to step out of the evil. We become responsible for one another. Responsible to help one another in the road to eternal life. And if we fail to take that responsibility, then we are somehow culpable in the death, their spiritual death. As I said at the beginning, it's not an easy thing to do. And it's a thing that I don't like to do. And yet I know sometimes I am responsible for that. And we're all responsible. And our eternal salvation depends on whether we are willing to reach out and help each other on the way to eternal life. It's not just a matter of, I'll do what I think is right and you do what you think is right. But we know some things are right and wrong. We know that murder is wrong. We know that abortion is wrong. We know that adultery is wrong. We know that robbery is wrong. We know that pornography is wrong. we have the obligation to support one another and lead each other to God.